Everyone with whom I spoke had either lived through the war or they had fled for their safety.
As the war started in Lebanon in 1976, we left to Canada.
Hannibal Shruji is a slender, soft-spoken 57-year-old Beirut artist who moved to Montreal, where his family had relatives. After graduating college, various teaching jobs and exhibitions took him from Maryland to Illinois to New York City to Paris, but Beirut kept calling him back.
It was always my objective to come back, but unfortunately, every time I decided, okay, now it's time to come back, something would happen, during the war.
War prevented that return for more than 20 years, but he had a nostalgia for the Lebanon he grew up in. Back in the 60s and 70s.
The people were open, and what you consider today normal North American or European lifestyle. It was, we had that lifestyle, and we had the money and the prosperity.
So what happened?
Blackout for 15 years, people killing each other, bombing. We had a shell in our house, so we left. Boom. So what can we do?
Shruji cites the huge influx of Palestinian refugees after 1948 and how international influences, cultures, and religions started ripping at Lebanon's equilibrium. And just recently, the Syrian war has pushed at least 1 million refugees into Lebanon.
Lebanon is an island around Syria, Israel, and the sea. There's just like, where can we go?
He says that recent offshore oil discoveries have only complicated an already convoluted picture.
The Syrian problem also is gas and oil. People think Syria, they're killing each other because they are fanatics.
So you're thinking what's going on in Syria has a lot more to do with power and money than it does with politics or fanaticism.
Is there anything else? I don't think so.
And then there's Ari Amaya Ackermans.
I was born in Colombia. I have a mixture of Colombian, Lebanese, Dutch, whatever ancestry. But I've lived most of my life in the Middle East.
Ari's an art dealer and art critic who bounces around between Dubai, Bahrain, and Beirut. But why Beirut?
On the one hand, there is this very romantic vision of Beirut. And on the other hand, there is the crazy energy of a city that has been a war city for decades.
To some extent, what makes Beirut unstable also makes it a great place for art.
It's a city with a very rich history, a very rich, painful, complicated history. It creates a certain energy that it's intangible, but that it is always in the air. And there are many artists who actually want to come to Beirut.
Beirut's complicated mix of cultures and religion, sophistication and retro-traditionalism makes it a place of exceptional contrast.
Let's say that that there are many different Lebanons and many different realities that overlap each other.
And this is where a recurring theme kept cropping up in my interviews. Yesterday, we heard from former Beiruti, Marcel Nugent.
Many Lebanese people don't have complete loyalty to Lebanon. They still consider that their reference is somewhere else.
He contrasts Lebanese reaction to conflict with American reaction.
United States of America, this is your final goal. You know, whenever somebody touches this place, you defend it with your soul. Back home, it's different. Some people, for them, Lebanon is not the ultimate goal.
And here's Ari again.
The local politicians are actually ambassadors of foreign countries to some extent, because these are their backers.
And Nadine Begdash.
All this fanatism came from abroad. It's not Lebanese.
Tomorrow, my series on Beirut wraps. I asked everybody I talked to, what do people in the United States need to know about Lebanon?
Oof, my God. That's such a tough question.
Jack Morgan, Texas Public Radio News.